So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Different stories and lessons. Yesterday we heard Lord Chaitanya instructing the Kulina Vasis. So Kulina Gram is a place in Navadvipa. And every year these devotees come to Jagannath Puri to attend Rath Yatra and to be with Lord Chaitanya. This is 500 years ago. And afterwards, when they were returning home, they asked Lord Chaitanya if he could give them some instructions to benefit them. So he told them that if they want to Sri Krishna Charan, if they want to Pave Sri Krishna Charan, if they want to attain the lotus feet of Krishna, realize Krishna, then they should do Vaishnava Seva. They should serve the Vaishnavas and chant Hare Krishna. Generally, when people ask us, they say, oh, please give me some instructions, some teaching. And then we tell them, oh, you should chant Hare Krishna and serve Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya, who is Radha and Krishna combined, he was saying that you should serve the Vaishnavas. Because the Vaishnavas are even more merciful than God. Because God is very busy, Krishna is very busy, Lila Purushottam. He's very busy with his pastimes in the spiritual world. So maybe he hears our prayers, maybe he doesn't. But the devotees are they're accessible. The devotees are right in front of us. We can see them, we can touch them, we can talk to them. So he is directing them to the Vaishnavas. That was our story yesterday. So the story today is in Madhya Lila chapter 1, verse 155 to 162. It's called Nisringananda Brahmachari's Mental Road. And this is a story. Lord Chaitanya was leaving Bengal on a yatra to Vrindavan. And he had reached a place called Vidyanagar. And he stayed at the house of one Vidyavachaspati. And many people gathered there to see him. And then at night, Lord Chaitanya went to He went to Kulia Gram. He's actually coming from one other village. Our story starts there. We can read that. Vrindavana Javena Prabhu Shuni Nisringananda Patasajaila Mone Paila Ananda. When Sri Nisringananda Brahmachari heard that Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Vrindavan, he became very pleased and mentally began decorating the way there. So this devotee's name was Nisringananda Brahmachari, and he heard that Lord Chaitanya was planning to walk from Navadvipa to Vrindavan, so then he sat in meditation. He was chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Then in his mind he was meditating on the pathway, footpath, because there weren't any railroads or airplanes then, 500 years ago. And he was decorating the road. We know that when a king goes somewhere, a king, usually they go before the king or they go before the Thakur and they sprinkle gulab pani, rose water or sandalwood pani. And they sometimes they throw flower petals and there's some chamara there and some white umbrella. This is the paraphernalia when a royal person goes in procession. So the Lord was going to walk from Bengal to Vrindavan. This devotee thought, well, I don't have the means or facility to do anything externally. He was a brahmachari. He didn't have all kinds of wealth. And so he sat and he meditated. He fixed the form of Lord Chaitanya in his mind, and he fixed the road in his mind. Then he started thinking, yes, I'm walking before the Lord, and I'm throwing so many flowers there. Or the road itself, the road is very smooth, and it's decorated with different patterns and looks very attractive. So now it describes what his meditation was. And in the line of bhakti, unlike karm gyan or yog, karm gyan and yog, at least for the most part, activities have to be done externally to a certain extent. Of course, in yoga, ultimately, they also do meditation. But to prepare one for meditation and yoga, one has to do so many difficult asanas and then pranayama and make his body very pure. by sattvic ahara, and then he can engage in some contemplation. But bhakti, anyone, any man, woman, young, old, fat, thin, anyone can sit down in a chair, on a couch, in Padma Asan, or anyway, and simply close his eyes and meditate and do seva, service to Krishna. This is called manasi seva, service with the mind. And service with the mind is equally accepted by the Lord. He's very happy. If maybe we have no temple, we have no Thakurji, we have no Murti. We can sit down and say, yes, I have a very beautiful temple, and in that temple there's Radha and Krishna, and I'm offering them some Agarbhati, and I'm offering them some ghee lamp, and just in our mind. And because it's bhakti, bhakti is transcendental. So bhakti is accepted by the Lord. Because when you think about it, our material body, our sharir and indriya, our body and senses, are material. They're made of this prakriti. But our mind is also material. It's matter. It's brain substance, mind, intelligence. It's all part of our mental quantum, sukshma sharir and linga sharir. So linga sharir and sukshma sharir, they're made of the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and combined in different ways. And so if we serve with this external body, or we serve with the internal body, the mental body or the physical body, service is service. The Lord is absolute, and He's pleased whether we serve with the external body or internal body. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, he explains the details of this mental road. Kuliya nagar haite patta ratne bandaila nivrinta pushvashaya upare patila. First, Nisringananda Brahmachari contemplated a broad road starting from the city of Navadvip. He bedecked the road with jewels, upon which he then laid a bed of stemless flowers. Well, this is certainly a rather opulent road. If you go to Bengal, you'll see that Bengal has the worst roads in India. Especially the road from Calcutta to Navadvip. Calcutta to Navadvip is like Delhi to Vrindavan. It's about 3 hours. And the road it's more like a safari. I think you're in the African plains, going for elephants or something. The road is really too much. It's really unbelievable. It takes 4 hours by car, and it's only about 90 kilometers. So you can imagine. So he wanted to make the road quite pukka, and inlaid with jewels. It says Ratna here. It says Ratna Bandaila. And then he took all the flowers, he removed the stems from the flowers in his mind, and put so many just flowers. It was a flower road of flowers, and the base was jewels. Pate dui dike pushpa bakulara shreni, madhe dui pashe divya pushkarini. He mentally decorated both sides of the road with bakula flower trees, and at intervals on both sides he placed lakes of a transcendental nature. So it's a very beautiful road, going through the villages of Bengal, going on through Bengal, through Bihar, on into UP, and goes all the way to Vrindavan. The Sringananda's manasapat, mental road. And so he made this very wide path in his mind, and he inset jewels in that path, and then he covered the path with flowers. And both sides of the road he planted rows of bakul trees. Give it nice shade and nice fragrance. A bakul is a very fragrant, small little tiny flower, is very, very fragrant. Then at intervals along the road in his mind he created beautiful pushkarini. Pushkarini means the lake full of lotus flowers. So nice breeze will come. When the wind blows over the lakes, then a cool breeze will come across the road. And then the bakul trees are there to provide not only shade but fragrance from the flowers. And on the road itself, underneath Lord Chaitanya's feet, he would be walking on flower petals. Well, it's a very nice road. This is the Manasi Seva of Nisringananda Brahmachari. Ratna bhanda gattatai prafula kamal nana pakshi kolahala sudat samajal. The mental lakes that he put on both sides of the road had bathing ghats constructed with jewels, and these lakes were filled with blossoming lotus flowers. There were various birds chirping, and the water was exactly like nectar. This is a quite very detailed meditation. He was into it. As he was thinking, okay, now I'm meditating, because whatever he is creating or imagining or designing within his mind, this is all being offered to the Lord. So when we're offering something to the Lord, we think many times about that offering. I'm offering this fruit salad to the Lord for his pleasure. I've cut up these fruits. Is this the best way I can present it? Can I modify it? Can I improve it? Can I make it even better? So first he makes the road. Okay, now I meditate on the road. It's very wide. I'm offering a wide road for Lord Chaitanya to walk on in my mind, to traverse the distance between Navadvipa and Vrindavan. But then he thinks more deeply about his offering. Oh, it's a wide road, but should it be any road? An ordinary dirt road, like every other road in Bengal? Or should it be something special? No, this road is for God. This road is for Lord Chaitanya. It should be something special. Well, how do I make it special? Then I make it special by insetting jewels there. Oh yes, this is befitting for the Lord. The Lord is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. So then he inset it with jewels. This is his idea to how to make it very special. And then he thinks, well, that's nice to be inset a jeweled inlaid road. That's very attractive, very colorful. And even the jewels, he could make patterns with the jewels, because you have red rubies and blue sapphires and green emeralds and white diamonds and yellow topaz and yellow sapphires. So you can make so many different patterns and designs in the road, like Ranguli, or whatever they call it. Ranguli. You can make Ranguli patterns in the road. So then he thought, well, that's nice, looks nice, but it's not very much fun to walk on. But walking, what would be nice? Walking, something should be very soft and something very pleasant, very pleasing to the feet. What could be more pleasing to the feet than to walk on a bed of rose petals? So then he picked so many rose petals and put 3 or 4 inches of roses on the road. And he's walked down the road. It's quite a pleasurable walk. And your feet will become very soft, because roses have some nice ras, gulab ras inside. And it's very good for the skin. So when you walk on that road, your feet will become not dry. When you walk on a footpath barefoot, usually your feet become dry and you get these cracks. It's whatever they call it, cracks in the feet. So imagine, like tomorrow we'll walk on Govardhan Parikrama, and then you can meditate that it's petals of roses. But you may step on thorns and stickers, and who knows what will come up your way, depending on how fortunate you are. So he made it very nice, and then he's meditating while the Lord is walking there. And of course, then the sun may be shining there on the road, so it should be a shady road. So if we want a shady road, we need shade trees. So Bokul trees grow very tall, usually 50-60 feet tall. So he planted in his mind Bokul trees, and it shouldn't be ordinary trees. He could have planted neem trees, but he didn't plant neem trees. They're also shady, but he planted Bokul trees, because not only should these trees give shade to the Lord, but they should give fragrance. So Bokul, and what fragrance? What flowering tree should I put? I could put Jaba flower, I can put magnolia. So many flowering trees are there. But one of the most fragrant flowering trees is Bokul. Little tiny flower, little spikes on it. So he put that tree in his mind. So by these verses that Krishnadas Kaviraj is describing the particularities of the meditation or the road, we get the indication of the care and attention with which this devotee took in his service offering to the Lord. He's offering service to the Lord in his mind, and he's taking great care that it should be done very perfectly and in the best possible way. So we can translate this or transfer this into our conscious or external service to the Lord, which we may render from time to time with our physical body in externally. So we may make some fruit salad for the Lord, as I mentioned. So we just cut up the fruit and then we say, oh, this is nice. I cut up the fruit, put it in a bowl and offer it to Thakurji. Oh, this is not very nice. I remember sometimes when devotees first do puja, if they're not instructed, and they don't have very much bhav, or any bhav, then they're told, your service is to prepare the fruit offering at 4 o'clock in the evening, 4 p.m. for the Thakurji. They offer some fruit to the Lord in the temple. So he's a new Brahmin, so he gets his order, and he goes in and he takes a banana, and he takes a banana from the refrigerator and puts it on a plate. He brings it and he offers it. He doesn't peel it. Just offers it. And then he comes to know that this isn't very pukka. That why should the Lord have any trouble? The Lord is an enjoyer. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Krishna says in Gita that he is bhoktaram. He is the enjoyer. Supreme enjoyer. So there's no enjoyment in the banana peel. And there's no enjoyment in peeling it. The enjoyment of a banana is in eating it. Just like if someone gives you a pomegranate, here's an anar. Say, well, thanks. Now what? Now I have to get my hands dyed red and squirt juice all over my kurta and shirt, which doesn't come out, which stains my kurta, and it goes everywhere, and then it's a big mess. If somebody hands you a cup of juice, here, fresh juice, not very good, but yeah. You just drink, very nice. Or maybe you want some variety, you want to crunch and eat some, you know, crunch on those pomegranate seeds because they're also good roughage if you need to clean your intestines, they're very good for that. So the person will take the trouble and prepare it nicely so that you can simply enjoy without any difficulty. So then he may say, all right, tomorrow I'll peel the banana. And then the next day he peels a banana, puts a whole banana on the plate. And then someone says, no, not quite like this. You peel the banana, then you cut it up in exactly nice pieces the Lord can just put in his mouth. So then he does that. And because they said make a fruit offering, so he offered a piece of fruit. But the actual standard is fruit salad. So after about the fourth day, he gets the idea, oh, fruit offering means that you're supposed to offer different fruits. So then he gets some apple and he doesn't peel the apple, he just puts the skins there. And so gradually gets the idea of how to offer the fruits after about a week. And I even remember some devotees, they would offer oranges to the deity because we were temple president and we also did puja work. And then they would cut the orange in four pieces, put it on a plate, say, here, with the skin and the orange and everything. I say, no, you should take the skin off and take the seeds out and cut it in pieces and take the seeds out and make it no hardship, only pleasure. Eat the orange, enjoy, like this. And then, so the fruit salad, so finally he gets to the point where everything is peeled, everything's ready, and he puts it in a bowl and he offers it, and he feels very happy. Oh, I'm offering fruit salad. Now it's nice. Then when someone comes along and says, oh, you didn't mix any cream inside. This is for Krishna. And why not one day honey, one day cream, maybe some nuts and some nut powder and some coconut and so many types of fruit salads you can offer. So after about a month, he finally figures out, 101 ways to offer fruit salad. Because the offering is every day. Every day we offer a fruit salad to the Lord. So in this story, in the Sringananda Brahmachari's mental road, he was offering this mental road to the Lord. He was so careful to improve everything to the utmost extent. So when he was adorning or decorating each side of the road with lakes, Pushkarini, he said, yes, I put these lakes there. These will be very nice. The lakes will give some cool breeze as the Lord walks down the road. But just a lake? with cool breeze, we can do more than that. Well, it should be a lake full of flowers. Well, what kind of flowers? Lotus flowers. Red flowers and yellow and blue. By the way, where's my lotus flower? You're supposed to bring me a lotus flower. Ah, better luck next time. I was really looking forward to that. You didn't get the message? It's too late. Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I know. Okay, yeah, next time, January. You have one more month. The marriage is in January, no?
February.
Marriage, your brothers. So he thinks there should be flowers there, so he puts flowers there. And he thinks, oh, this is very nice. Now it's quite nice. Lotus flowers are there, the lake is there, the cool breeze will come. And not only will that breeze be cool, but it will be laden with the beautiful sweet pollen, makarande, and aroma of the lotus flowers. Oh no, but wait. Not only lotus flowers, but there should be water birds. There should be water birds in that lake, and they should sing and chirp, because birds make a very pleasant sound, especially in the morning when we're waking up from the deep sleep and maybe even disturbed nights. And we're lying there and we hear the birds singing. They're a gift of God. God has given birds to humanity to please them, to serve them. They serve them by singing nicely and soothing the mind and refreshing the mind when one begins a day. It's a very wonderful gift of the Lord. Birds, because they don't have to sing. They're not singing for each other. Who's appreciating the singing? The singing is being appreciated by the human beings. Just like the cow. Look at the cow. The cow eats white. This dried up wheat stalks and busa or something like that. Busa. It's totally useless. There's no vitamins in it. It's only cellulose. It's only cellulose and roughage. It's dry. They harvest the gehon and the stalks. They chop up the stalks and they feed it to the cow. He takes this useless gehon. There's no vitamins, there's nothing in there. The cow eats it and produces milk. Milk has complete protein and so many amino acids and vitamin A and vitamin D and so many vitamins. I said, it's a miracle. It's amazing. And that's God's arrangement. And now the other thing is, look at the cow. The cow gives 3, 6, 5, 6 liters of milk. And you milk the cow. If you take that milk and put it in front of the cow won't take it. The cow won't eat it. Because this milk is meant for man. Meant for her baby and meant for man. Such a wonderful gift. Because you usually imagine if you're hungry, the cow is also hungry, but all this milk is so much protein, much more than that busa, that dry grass she's eating. She eats this dry grass, which is nothing, and produces this wonderful milk, which is miracle food. It's called amrit. In Ayurveda, milk is called amrit, because it actually is nectar. It sustains life and nourishes the brain and gives healthy body. But then you offer it to the cow, I can't take. She wouldn't drink her own milk. So much saccharide, wouldn't even drink her own milk. If we produce something, imagine if you produced something from your body, if you produced something that was edible. What we produce from our body, we can't mention. It's unmentionable things. But if you produce something, say from your body you produced ice cream, you would be the first one to eat it. But the cow is producing such a wonderful thing and giving it to others. So in his mind, he's making this wonderful road and the chirping birds in the lakes. Shitala samira wahe nana gandalana kanayira natashala paryanta laila bandina. The entire road that he created in his mind, the Shringananda, was surcharged with many cool breezes which carried the fragrances of various flowers. He carried the construction of this road as far as Kanai Natashala. So he was meditating, and the Lord had explained that he was going to walk from Navadvip to Vrindavan, which is quite a long way, all the way across Bengal and Bihar and UP to western UP into Vrindavan. But in his mind, somehow he could not meditate on his road further than Kanai Natashala, which is in Bihar, on the border of Bengal. Age mana nahi chale na pare bandite, pata bandana jaya nishinga hoila vismite. Within the mind of Nishingananda, brahmachari, the road could not be constructed beyond Kanai Natashala. He could not understand why the road's construction could not be completed, and thus he was astonished. Very interesting, because usually in the external world, in the physical world, when we try to accomplish something, we meet many obstacles, many problems and difficulties in executing some duty here in this world, whether it's building a road or building a house or anything. And we try to overcome those problems in different ways. But generally, there is no problem in the mind. The mind, there are no obstacles, there are no blocks or limits. As far as you can think, that's how far the mind can go. It can go on and on and on until you fall asleep, at least. The only obstacle is sleep and inattention, distraction. But if you're concentrated and you're rested, then you can think and meditate for hour after hour after hour. You can go on and on and on, and people often do that. It's called daydreaming. People daydream. Well, my husband, he'll get a good contract in the movies, and then we'll make this much money, and then he'll become a star, and then we'll get all this money, and then we'll buy this place over here, and then we'll decorate it like this, and I always wanted to have this and that. And you know, women, wives, they daydream like this, and husbands daydream also that. And we can go on and on and on the whole time we're chanting japa. Our mind can be absorbed in our daydreaming instead of surrendering to the holy name of Krishna. And we're supposed to be chanting Hare Krishna, meditating on Krishna's form, spiritual form, and his qualities and pastimes, but instead we're meditating on, oh, I'm going to make this much money, now my company is sending me to China, and I'm getting this promotion, and this and that, and we're going to have this kid and that kid, and so many things go on and on. The mind is a great dream factory. There's clothing factories and so many automobile factories, so everybody has their own factory, dream factory. So karya kahi shuna bhaktagan ibhara najabena prabhu sri vrindavanam. Nrisinghananda, after his meditation, met this impediment or block that he couldn't go further. For some reason, there was actually what we call a mental block, literally or figuratively. His road could not go any further than Kanai Natashala. Nrisinghananda, with great nishchaya, which firmness or conviction, he told the devotees, he said, listen, it is my firm belief that Lord Chaitanya will not walk any further than Kanai Natashala. His journey to Vrindavan will end there, will stop there. Prabhu, he says, Ebara na javena. He will not go. Javena. Javena means jayega. Javena. And Prabhupada gives a purport. Srila Nrisinghananda Brahmachari was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, when he heard that Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan, although he had no money, this Brahmachari, Nrisinghananda, began to construct within his mind a very attractive path for Mahaprabhu to traverse. Some of the descriptions herein given. But even mentally, he could not construct the road beyond Kanai Natashala. Therefore, he concluded that Mahaprabhu would not go to Vrindavan at that time. And Prabhupada gives his purport, which we mentioned. For a pure devotee, it is the same whether he materially constructs a path or constructs one within his mind. This is because Krishna, Janardhan, is known as Bhava Grahi. Grahi means the essence, and Bhava means the love, feeling, sentiment, mood. Krishna is known as Bhava Grahi, or appreciative of the sentiment. For Krishna, a path made with actual jewels and a path made of mental jewels are the same. Though subtle, mind is also matter. So any path, indeed anything, for the service of the Lord, whether in gross matter or in subtle matter, is accepted equally by God. The Lord accepts the attitude of his devotee and sees how much he is prepared to serve him. The devotee is at liberty to serve the Lord either in gross matter or in subtle matter. The important point is that the service be in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, in our dream factory, in our mind, or our dream factory, all of our dreams should be connected with Krishna. We're dreaming of this service and that service, not of this grandiose scheme for sense pleasure or sense gratification. Krishna is telling in Gita, chapter 9, verse 26, Patram pushpam phalam tayam yo me bhaktiya prayachati tadaham bhakti paritam mashnami prayatatmanha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I accept it. Prabhupada says, the real ingredient is bhakti, devotion. Pure devotion is uncontaminated by the modes of nature. Ahoituki apratiyata. Unconditional devotional service cannot be checked by any material condition. This means that one does not have to be very rich to serve Krishna. Even the poorest man can equally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he has pure devotion. If there is no ulterior motive, devotional service cannot be checked by any material condition. Kananira natashala haiteya siva firana janibe paschata kahilu nishchaya karina. The Sringananda Brahmachari said, the Lord will go to Kanai Natashala and then return. All of you will come to know of this later, but now I say it with great assurance. This is the end of the story of Nisringananda's mental road, his offering in the mind. Prabhupada is saying here that there's no limitation in offering service to the Lord. Sometimes devotees, they say, oh, I wish I had a deity. I would do so much service. But my mother, she's not favorable, so I can't have any deity in the house. I can't have any temple room in the house. Or my husband's not favorable. That different complaints people make, or they have problems. But there's no impediment. There's nothing material which can check the flow of devotion. If one wants to have a deity in the house, first he should have the deity in his heart. Because the real temple is the temple of the heart. So house, the soul, the house, the body is the house. And the soul is a kshetra. The body is a kshetra and the soul is living in the house of the body. So even the house of the body, we can establish the Lord in our own temple. The temple is our heart. So that's a very poor excuse. Sometimes people say, oh Maharaj, I really like to worship deities, but you know, I'm not initiated. I'm not a Brahmin. So what? What's stopping you? What's stopping you from worshiping? You sit down and close your eyes and you establish the most beautiful deity in your mind. Or you can worship different deities every day. Today I'm going to worship Radha Govinda in Jaipur. And tomorrow I'm going to worship Radha Raman in Vrindavan. Yeah. And then you have the deity there, you fix the form of the deity in your mind, say, now I'm bathing the Lord and with rose water and massaging with sandalwood oil. And just pass your whole japa doing Manasi Seva. That's very nice. You become very blissful if you do this for 1 week. People say, why, how you became so happy? Oh, I'm doing deity worship now. Acha? You're doing deity worship, but you haven't gotten first initiation yet. No, I'm doing puja already. I already have a deity and I'm doing puja. But I didn't see any deity in your house. No, in my heart I have. Acha? Yes, I have Radha Raman. Oh, you bogus, get out of here. So most devotees, everyone, knowingly or unknowingly, consciously or unconsciously, everyone ascribes to the philosophy of seeing is believing. We don't see it, we don't believe it. Of course, that's not a very accurate way to gather knowledge, but... that's the way most people operate. On the basis of eyes, not on the basis of ears. The ears can see much better than the eyes. The eyes have problems. Sometimes their vision goes, they have myopia or whatever the opposite one is. What is it, myopia? Yeah, you can't see. Myopia means you can't see far away, and then you can't see close up and whatever. There's so many difficulties with the eyes. And also the ears, actually, but the ears are a better source of knowledge than the eyes. If the ears listen to Veda, Vedant, or transcendental knowledge from the scriptures and the realized saints, then the individual can attain very perfect and proper pure knowledge of reality. But the eyes are subject to delusion, illusion, mistakes, miscalculation. Because the eyes look at the sun, and the eyes will say, well, the sun planet, I think the sun is this big. You look at the sun, and your eyes are telling you, I look at the sun planet, I think it's this big. Is this the size of the sun? The eyes will tell it is this big. But the scriptures, you read books on astronomy and science, they'll say it's very, very big. And then if the eyes look, if you take a piece of your hair and look out with your eyes, you say, oh, my hair is very nice. There are no bugs there. But if you put under a microscope, you see so many bugs on the tip of your hair. On the tip of your hair, there's all these extraordinary bugs with 100 legs and claws and teeth and everything. It's unbelievable because we studied microbiology. You know, we studied medicine, so in microbiology, they would take the most common thing. They look under a microscope, and there's all these, you know, very small bugs, and they look like it looks like something out of the prehistoric times. These little bugs are crawling around our scalp and our hair. They have like these claws, and they look like lobsters and crabs and stuff, and they have all these incisors and pinchers, and they're like 1/10,000 inch long. I mean, they're microscopic guys. And they're really there, but your eyes will tell you, there's nothing. I wash my hair with conditioner and this and that, and aloe vera and all this stuff. And then you put it under the microscope, and you say, oh my God, these guys didn't get washed away. They were wearing some, you know, goggles or something or whatever. They're waterproof bugs. So the eyes are very imperfect. So, is there any questions about this story in the Sringananda's Brahmachari's mental road? Any questions or comments? And the basic idea that Krishna's Kaviraj is showing here is that, you know, turn on, tune in, and drop into the spiritual world. Because every story here has a message. It's not that he's randomly filling up the pages. He's thinking, oh my God, I have to put something in my book here. I want to make this a big book, so I have to add some more stories here. Do you know any stories? Can you tell me a good story? Oh, that's nice. I'll put it inside. No, it's everything is quite well thought out. Because he's trying to explain principles of bhakti, pure bhakti. How to engage in pure devotional service to the Lord. So these are archetypal stories with real personalities that really lived and walked on this planet. And they're all the associates of the Lord who are teaching different aspects and facets of pure devotion. So this story is not simply to entertain us, although it's certainly entertaining and enjoyable to hear about the Lord and his devotees, but it's instructive. This is called Shiksha, Guru Shiksha, teachings of Guru. Krishna's Kaviraj is a Mahajan. He's one of the great teachers of Gaudiya Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vedanta. And he's given some very important books for us. And this book is full of philosophical points and practical points for consideration in terms of sadhana. Our sadhana is bhakti sadhana. The daily practice of works and actions of devotion by which we can become attached to the Lord and realize the very presence of the Lord within our lives and ultimately to attain His eternal service in the spiritual world. So every chapter, every story, every lesson is for us to benefit from and to understand and in many cases to follow, especially this one. This particular lesson to meditate on the Lord and meditate on His service in the mind should be done at all stages of devotion. Whether one is a beginner or intermediate or adept, he should engage the mind in thinking of Krishna. Shravana Vishnu, Shravana Kirtana Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Sakyam Atma Navedanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Navedanam. Prahlad Maharaj explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, there is Navavida Bhakti, 9 limbs of devotion. So he says we should hear about Krishna, we should chant Krishna's name and songs and prayers about Krishna. Then we should remember him, Vishnu Smaranam. Meditate on his form, meditate on his pastimes, and use our mind, because our mind, either we use our mind or our mind uses us. We only have two choices in the matter, but usage will be there. Either we use our mind or our mind uses us. So we engage the mind in our service, or the mind engages us in his service. Generally the mind is just taking us for a ride all over various highways and byways of the mind, of the city of the mind, roads of anger and roads of envy and roads of greed and lust and pride and all kinds of dark streets, dead end streets, and we get in a lot of trouble on those roads. But the mind, as Krishna says in Gita, the mind can be the greatest friend or the worst enemy. So the mind engaged according to one's will and directed towards God is the greatest of friends, which will bring one to the point of perfection. But if the mind is allowed free rein and takes us for a ride, then that same mind will take us into repeated birth and death, and can even take us to the depths of hell. So here, this devotee, Nrisinghananda, is teaching the proper use of the mind by connecting it with Krishna. Just giving a little direction, like a child. A child has a lot of energy because of youth. Lots of energy, but if it's directed, they can be constructive. But if it's not directed, they can be destructive. It's the same energy. The same energy they use to break everything in the kitchen and break all the bottles of spices and turn over everything and throw everything upside down. They can be used to knead the flour for the bread. Take all their energy and give them 5 kilos of dough and say, here, press on this and put this in a bowl now. Just keep pressing this dough. And they press it and press it and press it and they knead it. And you say, now break off these dough and make little balls like this. And the kid breaks it off and makes little balls. Even a 3-year-old child can help the mother make bread or chapatis. But that same energy, if he was left alone in your bedroom, he would have broken all your perfume bottles and just devastated your bathroom and sprayed shaving cream all over the mirror. Taking your husband's shaving cream and sprayed it all over the mirror and all over the door and everything. Kids can be like monsters. So it's a matter, the mind is like a child. It has to be directed. So if it's directed, then it can be very helpful and be a great friend to help us realize God. So this is very practical. There are unlimited ways by which the mind can be used to serve the Lord. So the Nrisinghananda's story is giving us a very practical and easy way. We sit down, we chant the holy name, and our mind is going to say, okay, now you're chanting, that's nice, chanting is going on, you're hearing and you're chanting, but what about me? What am I supposed to do? Tongue has something to do, fingers have something to do, ears have something to do, but what about me? Mr. M. You know, Mr. M is Mr. Mind. Oh, you do whatever you want. So you're chanting Hare Krishna, and mind says, all right, here we go. And he goes wherever he wants, and then your japa is for naught. It's nothing. It's like a bird, like a parrot trained. It's just some mechanical movements of your lips. So the mind is saying, what about me? Can I join this chanting program? Can I take part in this? So they say, yes, you can also take part. Now you think of Krishna's form. You think of the meaning of the holy name. And this way we can join forces with our mind, make an alliance, India and America alliance against China. They better line up with somebody, because China is not a small enemy. And probably India and Russia, I suppose. Maybe three-way alliance, India, Russia and America. That's maybe a better combination. So the big bear, right? What they call the big bear. China's called the big bear, I think. Sleeping bear. What do you call bear in Hindi?
Balu.
Balu. Balu. Sounds like Bengali. Balu. 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 Kuku Balu. Balu means good, right? Balu, Balo and Balu. Good bear is a Balu, Balu. So any questions about Nisringananda's mental road, the story of Nisringananda's mental road to Kanai Natashala? You have some question?
Yeah. You partially answered it, but I still want to ask if the disciple who is following sadhana, practicing in this way, engaging his...
Get a chair. That lady needs a chair.
Engaging his ability to imagine in the proper direction, like serving the Lord, will he choose whatever meditation he will like to meditate on, or he will ask Guru, who is instructing him, what exactly I should meditate on from like different periods of his devotional advancement? Will he have to ask Guru in that part also, or this is like for free, creative now, whatever?
Yeah, I'm meditating on Krishna, and Krishna's coming to the gym with me, and Krishna's wearing gym shorts with me, and I'm on the treadmill, and next to me Krishna's on the treadmill. Hare Krishna, and I'm running on the treadmill, and Krishna's running, but he's playing his flute, and as he plays his flute faster, then I run faster, and then when he plays slow, I run slow. This is my you said imagination. So Atmanam Manyate Jagat, we think of the world in terms of our own position. So actually, of course, in all these practices, sadhana, these should be sanctioned by Guru. Guru can, and if he trusts the devotee has the proper balance and approach and understanding, then he may give him the free rein. He may say, you can meditate according to your inspiration. If he knows the devotee is sufficiently fixed in steadiness and free from this whimsical behavior, whimsical type of thinking, then he may give him the freedom or latitude to meditate according to his inspiration. But otherwise, he'll give him very strict guidelines. And generally, the meditation, as far as the general rule, in the beginning, one is told to meditate on the meaning of the Lord. The meaning of the Maha Mantra. And that, of course, has different levels also. And the guru will adjust the proper meaning according to the level of the disciple. And then he may be advised to meditate on the form. But when you read Harinam Chintamani and other writings, this is what it's being told to meditate in the beginning. One meditates on the meaning, and then different meanings are given there, from the elementary meanings to more deeper meanings as one advances. Yeah, Abhijit?
Yeah, the dream factory, Maharaj. So that becomes a real problem when we chant, Maharaj. You know, so you say, okay, we can engage ourselves in the meaning of the name, but you know, our mind always diverts somewhere else. Okay, for a while we're there, then again we're out. So how do we get over it?
Yeah, there's one book available that gives many different techniques for fixing the mind. So one should try to look at that book, and then. Then you can, if his mind is too much jumping, he can jump from one technique to the other. The whole idea is to hear the name, hear the sound vibration. Because that, being just attentive, being attentive to the vibration of Krishna's name is actually being attentive to the person, Krishna. Because Krishna, Radha and Krishna are the holy name. There is no difference between the name. So when we say, actually, Radha and Krishna, you're here before me. And the form of the holy name, and I want to please help me realize that you are here before me, in the holy name. So when one chants Hare and Krishna, he's directly with Radha and Krishna, and this is when one. So therefore, when one is very carefully and attentively trying to hear pay attention to the vibration, or concentrate just on the vibration, that vibration is Radha, and that vibration is Krishna. So that attentiveness and that showing of regard and respect to the vibration is the same as showing attentiveness, regard and respect to the form of Radha and Krishna. If Radha and Krishna are standing in front of you and you're saying,
well, yeah, well, it's nice, you know, Radha and Krishna, but, you know, and you're here, but I don't know what's going on with my body.
So they won't be so much appreciative. Because they're right there, the form. So that's why the main instruction of the acharya is just here. just hear the vibration and be respectful to the vibration, and be attentive to the vibration and concentrate on the vibration. And all the other aspects, then that vibration will manifest the form and the qualities and everything. So all these techniques and these small ideas for meditation are given because of the initial impurity of the mind. This disturbance of the mind is due to impurity, due to various anarthas and aparad and sins that are still in the mind. They cause the mind to be unsteady. When the mind is pure, then it can become very steady. So everything we're doing is bringing the mind, or making the mind more and more pure, by eating prasadam, Krishna prasadam, and by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the different limbs of bhakti. They're all contributing to purifying the mind. As the mind becomes more and more pure, then it can sit very tightly and be very pleased and satisfied and well behaved. The mind can be very well behaved just hearing the sound vibration. He doesn't need any other toys. Like a well-behaved child, a very well-behaved child can just sit, fold his hands, and sit there in a lecture or anything. But another child, you have to give him little balls to play with and little things to dangle in front of his face and so many things because he's jumping here and there. So the mind is like that. You have to give him little things to play with. Here's a little ball, here's a little triangle, here's a little... So that's the techniques of meditation. But ultimately, when the mind is peaceful and when it's pure, then he's well behaved. He sits quietly and just hears the holy name.